Welcome to the Visible Coaches podcast. I'm Angela Durant and you'll meet Anke Herman a little later. Between us, we have 30 years of business experience. We've started and grown our businesses from nothing but an idea, learning to play to our strengths as introverts in what often feels like an extrovert world. If you have ever felt any resistance to how others tell you you have to market yourself or bare your soul on social media just to get clients, then this podcast is for you. We know the unique challenges that introverted coaches face when it comes to selling their services. So, if you're ready to learn how to spot those golden opportunities right under your nose, clarify your message, nurture that market, and get more business coming your way, all without sacrificing your energy levels or well-being, then plug your AirPods in and let's go.
Didn't I do that before?
There we go.
There we go. Okay, so welcome to the message. I shall try again. The message, message and momentum weekly. And we are tackling what seems like a very obvious topic today around defining your niche and an understanding of that at a more refreshing or a deeper level. And the way I see it is, if niching was that, you know, we've seen like how many courses, how many blog posts, how many things that people have said around niching or what even that is. There's a lot of topics around this. If it was that obvious, I really believe that intelligent humans, intelligent women that were on here would get it. So what is the problem with niching? And what do we need to know around niching so that the questions that you've answered, that you've asked in the chat around what to say so that you people get it and what that is relating to niching, niching by subject matter or by audience type? Interesting question. How to refine your niche and know when it's appropriate to do so, and anything else that comes around that topic. So, Anke, I'm just going to introduce myself and Anke to you if you don't know who we are before. So I'm Angela Durant, and I have been working in the field of voice coaching, speaker training, business strategy and messaging for nigh on sort of 10 to 15 years in total. And my partner in crime today is Anke Herman, who actually joins me as in the Visible Club. We run it together, which is a community for women to help them get more visible and grow the business that they actually want to grow and handle that online in a way that makes sense to them at the same time without any formulas, but actually helping them move forward and make consistent daily progress. Now, Anke is a business strategist and an online techie, brilliant, software developer, and has been an entrepreneur for many, many years. And she is joining me today to really unpack this topic. So I'm going to ask you, Anke, first of all, when you see those questions in the chat, and when you think about this topic of defining your niche and the problems that so many of us have, and we've had our interesting refinements around niching, I'd love you to just open this message of Momentum Weekly with your thoughts on what you've seen, because you've supported people in growing an online business for several years and been at the back end of seeing this and have had your own frustrations with clients that you've worked with that have struggled on the niching front. So I'd love you to maybe unpack some of the bigger mistakes, first of all, and the problems that that everybody's encountering around this topic before we get into practicalities.
Yeah, it's a good old topic, right? And I think the first thing that I see literally everyone making, and I mean, welcome to the club, it's like the resistance to it, right? Especially when you've just come out of coach training, or when you like help people with a modality like hypnosis or EFT, like something that can do a lot of things for a lot of people, the idea of niching feels really like, no, I don't, nothing to do with that, right? And all you think about is all the people that you kind of exclude. You know, there's a bit of a fear. It's like, oh, will there be enough people? And what about all the other people I could help? So that thing, and I think the more multi-passionate you are, the more creative you are, the more universal your offering is, the harder that gets. I've not ever come across anybody who goes, oh yeah, niching, that makes sense. Let me go really narrow, right? Everybody starts out like, what about all these other people? So there's the fear that there are not enough people if I go too narrow, and what about all the people I don't serve? And when people come to the conclusion that, you know, offering this Chinese menu of services for different people, and they start to realize, well, actually, you know, if I offer everything to everybody, nobody can hear me. And the idea of narrowing down in some way, becoming known for something, starts to make sense on a logical level. The next mistake I see people make all the time is that they think it's like a linear process, and you can kind of decide that. So you kind of, you know, and that's the thing. There's a lot of, you know, client avatar sheets, workbooks, whatever. So where you go through, like, you know, identify, and here's how you identify, dig into your own story and this and that. There's loads of different approaches that help you figure out who your ideal client is and what problem you can solve for them. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's only one part of it. That's only part of the story. Like, this is your starting point. That's not the thing. So the idea of, like, you can actually figure this out at your desk by yourself, that never works. And the other part is that it evolves over time, because sometimes you might, like, something might work for a while, and then you go, oh, actually, I do my best work with these people that I didn't even know existed when I first started out. You know, it's that iterative process that bigger and Sean D'Souza from Psychotactics, he's like much better than the name suggests, but he has this whole thing where he says, like, your passion, your people will find you. So it is in conversation, right? It's part of observing who comes to you and figuring out what other people see that you do for them, because that's usually not what you think you do for them. So really seeking that conversation early and constantly is really, really critical to find that sweet spot between what you feel inspired to offer, the people who are best served with it, and the problem that solves for them. It's that tripod of elements where you need to find the sweet spot, and you can't figure it out by yourself. And it's, yeah, and as you said before, if it was that easy, everybody would do it. Like, it's actually, it is a process of evolution that, you know, where you just go, okay, yeah, just settle into it and take one step and do one experiment at a time, and you'll get there.
Thanks, Anka. So Anka's really referring to something that I call the message matrix, which is your greatest, your sweet spot of a niche, your kind of ikigai, lands in between three elements. Your greatest passion, the thing that you are most skillful and you have the biggest affinity with to actually deliver. It lies between that. It lies between a market that has a need right now for the thing that you offer. Okay. And it lies in between those two and the third bit, which is the offer, or the way that you deliver it and the price that you charge for it, which can be low or high, irrelevant, and they are willing to pay that price. So if you get two out of those three, you're going to struggle with the type of market. Either you'll resent the people that you're working with, or they will not be able to afford you. You'll be picking the wrong area. So we've got your greatest passion, the market need right now to solve that passion that you've got to deliver, and the way that you're going to deliver that. And those three have got to come together to find your actual sweet spot niche. Imagine it like a kind of, you know, sort of triangle with crossing in the middle, and the ikigai bit, the sweet spot, the real niche, is when that all comes together. Now, sometimes I often find that a good way to look at niching is to look at a gap in the marketplace, or look at a problem that you, when you're not quite sure who it is, or you're not quite sure if you've got the right one, is first of all, I always start with a place I want to serve or a place I want to be of service. Because if I don't start with a place I want to be of service, then I'm going to find it really, really hard to show up to who and what I'm doing and to keep that refining process going all the time. So you've got to have the space where you want to be of service. So it might be in the ADHD community, might be in the healing community, might be with women, might be with men, you know, that's relevant, but it's a place that you want to be of service. The second thing is spotting the gap where you are going to be able to enter into that. So they used to say that you're either in the health, the wealth, or the relationships business. Okay, no problem. You're in the health, wealth, or relationships business. And that is probably true to a large degree. Now, spotting the gap for the types of people that you want to work with, that will help you start to look at how and that kind of ideal client situation. So for me personally, when I think about ideal client avatar sheep, I find them pretty valueless at the start, but they're pretty good to start the process. Sometimes you can start the process by writing all of that stuff out, getting out what you think is the problem or that you want to work with. However, that is going to be probably invariably off until you have a conversation. So the next step is to have some conversations with people and to ask certain questions that help you and them to find out what really is the actual sweet spot, the problem that you can and want to fix. Once you're having conversations with people, you're doing a lot of active listening, and that active listening is going to help. So say, for instance, Andre, you just to dive in, you said about, you know, you want an inclusive environment that's outside of Facebook where you can invite the type of people that you feel you want to serve to. Well, that's not a difficult question to answer. It's the premise that everything has to be a Facebook group. And actually to know your type of people, if they struggle with tech or they like to gather in a certain place, you can look at various pieces of software that can help you facilitate that. So first of all, knowing the type of people that you are working with by asking them, by speaking to them, and if you haven't got anybody to speak to, then it's a case of sometimes a little bit of trial and error. But the beautiful thing is you can start and you can change. So it's about knowing how they work, how they tick, what their preferences are, and a lot of active listening. Many people avoid a conversation with people because we're not really taught to do that through many programs. We're taught to do a module on messaging, do a module on ideal client, do a module on putting it all together, and then go out and find these people and then, you know, and sort of do whatever we're supposed to do with trickery to get them into our world. Well, that's not relationship building, and that's not doesn't make any sense in my world. Even if you were a manufacturer creating a new biscuit to bring to the marketplace, the first thing that you would do is a lot of market research and taste testing to work out if that biscuit was going to actually sell when you'd put your time, money, and effort into it and in the marketplace. So I want to say that first. I want to encourage people to do the very scariest thing, which is sometimes create some conversations that are not to do with selling, and they're to do with having a conversation with the people that are in your world, even if you know the people that you're trying to reach. If you are not sure of the words to reach them, it's really valuable to go and have a 15-minute conversation and say something very simple like, I'm doing a little bit of market research into certain types of problems and messages of people in this particular industry or this particular area. Could you spare 15 minutes for me to ask you some very simple questions? This is a market research conversation. And you'll probably find at least five or so people will get on a conversation with you. And when you start asking them, what are they doing right now? What have they tried before? Why do they feel they are struggling? One of the biggest problems with niching is that most people are trying to assume from the position of the solution what people are struggling with. And that's not what that matrix is talking about. It's a problem that they believe they have that they are trying to solve. And the issue with defining your niche is to actually know very much what the problem is that they perceive they have, even if you know that the solution is different. The language around niching and the identification is hugely around asking them how they perceive their problem. You'll have probably passed that problem a long time ago yourself. So I just wanted to create that. And then just to finish off, and then I'm going to pass over to Anchor, and then we're going to open up questions, which is, for me, the way that I have noticed niching working for me has been very much an iterative process, as Anchor explains. Sometimes I've seen exactly who I want to serve, as in the type of position that people are in. Could be a manager, could be a senior leader, could be a solopreneur, etc. Could be a woman, could be a singer in the past, etc. Could be a speaker. So the broadest context. Once I've seen the particular space I want to go into and the level of those people, you're looking at serving people in a couple of different levels. You're either going to take them from subpar to par, which is lacking competence, to competence in a particular area. You're going to take them from either then, or you're going to take them from par to par excellence. So they're already competent or confident, and you're going to take them to mastery. So that's how to start to choose the area, subpar to par or par to par excellence. Once you see where you want to go in with people, the next bit is, as I found it, is the conversations and creating that. You fill the initial need. Many, many times I found the niche has refined itself over time with the willingness to work with people, from beta programs to smaller opportunities, et cetera, where you can get absolute feedback on how people are experiencing your work. And over time, then you can start to refine that so that perhaps even over a year or a couple of years, I've found personally that a niche starts to refine itself so that the more established you get, potentially then the more narrow it gets. And then when you get celebrity status, it tends to get a little bit wider. A little bit like an egg timer, a little bit. It starts off probably quite wide, then we start to narrow a little bit, and then if somebody goes right the way to celebrity status, it tends to widen again. So Anchor, do you want to come in on that and finish off, and then we will open up for the questions that are in the chat and to see thoughts on what people have got on what we've said so far?
Yeah, no, I totally love that. I love the kind of from subpar to par and from par to par excellence. Like, that's so, so true. And I think the piece that I want to sort of point towards is that I see sometimes coaches, is it's an easy trap to fall into, is to try and solve, like, you have your people that you want to serve, but the problem you're looking to solve, either people don't want it solved, or they don't want it solved in this way, or it's just not that important to spend the kind of money that, like, as a coach, you would want to earn. Because everyone was like, well, coach, you know, like, you're worth charging, whatever, you know. So, but if you solve a problem that isn't really something people want solved, so that's a piece to pay attention to when you speak to people. Like, what's the impact for people of not, like, how important is that? And I have I have plenty of examples where I was like, oh yeah, maybe I get an ebook of Amazon. Oh, $3. Should I really spend this? Oh, let me think about that. You know, no big deal, not really worth investing much in it. But boy, when I did an email deliverability problem and my emails ended up in the spam folder, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to ruin my email list, like, within the next few days if I don't get this fixed now. And I don't have the time or the inclination to figure out how to do this myself. I can't afford to put my foot in and make a mistake, and I need it quick. I paid $500 for an hour of somebody's time, like, so happily. I would have paid double, you know, because the problem was big and it was urgent, and it wasn't something that I like, and the implication of not fixing it were massive. So, you know, and that's something to really keep in mind for how easy something will also be to sell. You know, and I think a lot of, I don't know how many times, you know, oh, I want to help women in midlife. Yeah, women in midlife, they all come to their own. Like, they don't want to be helped. They don't want to be inspired. You know, and if they have health problems, they go to a doctor or to a naturopath or something. They don't necessarily, like, it's like, if you solve a problem they don't want solved, you're always going to struggle. And it doesn't matter how tight your niche is, that, like, taking into account that people actually want the thing that you're thinking on offering. I think that's super, super critical. And the only way to find out what that actually is having those conversations. And yes, you might need to kiss a few frogs, and you might find some things don't quite, I mean, it can work out the wrong way either way. Either you find, oh, they actually don't want what I have, or you can find, like, what I had with the tech monster stuff in the beginning. It's like people jumped at it and I hated it. Like, I basically got what I wanted, but when I had it, it was like, oh Jesus, I don't want to fucking fiddle with people's buttons the whole time, you know. So, and you, because you could kind of also have wrong assumptions about what you think you like offering. So there's literally only one way to find out. And almost like the stuff that really does your head in is really what shows you where you want to go. So you can't really skip the step of taking action and talking to people and offering your stuff, even if it isn't perfect, even if it's still too vague. You know, it's that process, those conversations that will help you clarify what you want to offer and what people respond to.
Oh gosh, Ankur, I love that. It just took me right the way back. I mean, I was a voice coach for 10 years. And I didn't get this until probably several years in, that there was certain people that when I opened the front door, because of course this was like post, when we're the post pre-Zoom days, but when I opened the front door, and some people I had a genuinely warm smile at, and other people I was through gritted teeth, I would have a smile at. And that is a really clear indication of the types of people that you should or shouldn't be working with. But I came up from the background that certainly as a teacher or as a voice teacher, that it was your job to serve everybody, and that somehow you just had to suffer it. We don't have to overmother the world here, you know, but it was like that first part for me. And then I really thought that I had nailed it. I'd maybe nailed it differently, but again, it's I'd nailed maybe the move and maybe the industry, to niche towards industry, but not necessarily the nuance of the niche. So I then re-niched about 2016-17 into corporate training, because I'd had these opportunities. And I thought this is perfect niche for me, because I'm getting paid more in a day than I was in paid in a month of training singers. So if we're not careful, we fall for the idea that there's money, more money in corporate. And there is more money in corporate, but there's also a great big load of different headaches and hassles. And what I found, even with corporate, for about 5 or 6 years in corporate, was that very quickly I discovered who I enjoyed working with and who I didn't. And the first thing was, just because it was paid more, it didn't make it any less challenging to actually work out what the niche actually was for you. But it did help me understand it further, which was, if they were in, I don't know, if I was doing like a speaking with impact and it was to a bunch of public sector councillors who needed media training, you know, and they were just sort of age 55 in the planning department waiting for their pension. Sorry if any of those happen to pick this up in some time in the future, or whether they were a leader. You know, that they'd been come through the ranks and they were a sort of CFO manager and they wanted to go to director, and there was a real kind of aspirational up level to upskilling themselves. They fired me up. So very quickly I started to realize that there was a link between the thing and the way that I wanted to offer and the type of people, even within an industry, that I would do best to offer it to and enjoy that process, and they would get something out of that process too. So what you were saying just took me right back to that whole time. So I hope that even our experiences, I hope first of all that's given you maybe some food for thought in terms of what you have written in the chat. Even when I started the Visible Club a couple of years ago, because I'd worked with so many men at senior leadership level and individually, we had, I mean, even the work that I was doing around wanting to support solopreneurs, first of all, that was the thing. You know, when I started in the pandemic or restarted another business, first of all, it was, I knew I wanted to serve the solo service-based person. So that was the first official niche. Then, you know, I didn't have a preference, male or women. But what we found over a couple of years was that it refined itself towards a particular type of woman, a particular type of person. And it's my choice then to look and go, those are the people that are hanging around the stuff that we're doing. Are you willing to serve that person? Do you enjoy serving that person? And are you willing to serve it? Once you get to that place, then you can really start what I call the better brand messaging around what you do, rather than just trying to get who you think you should be getting. I do believe that your real tribe will find you, almost like literally that whole cliche, your vibe attracts your tribe. And there has to be some courage of your convictions to get to stay in the game long enough to see that actually happen. That makes sense. So I just want to open it up for any thoughts or to find out some questions. So maybe like use a reaction, like stick a thumbs up or something, and we'll also come to the questions in the chat as well. So but first of all, I'd just like to open it all up to any thoughts or any questions around what we've said. If there's anything new in there or anything that's confirmed something for you, or if there's some confusion that we can unpack.
Go I've on, kind okay. of decided that I think with the way that, no offense to online, I think it's great, but I think potentially with the subjects that I'm, because I'm, care is a huge part of my life now, mm-hmm. and I'm just thinking that it's such a personal thing that each person goes through and what they do every day, that I actually want to have like a physical space.
Okay.
You know? Which can yep. be challenging on its own. I'm not saying I'm going to do it tomorrow, mm-hmm. but, you know, I think that's what I want to create, a community of people.
So in which you case know? Then, recognize that if you are wanting to work with people around that are either caring for others or that there's something around that type of person there, then...
Yeah.
Think of logistically around
yeah.
the things for them. Think about them. What kind of things they're going to struggle? Is something online helpful, but something private? Zoom is quite a good thing. You might you can find things like Heartbeat is a software that we use, and there's Mighty Networks or Circle, that they are other
yeah.
areas that you can have and help people to have a community online. So you're deciding. Yeah. Do you want to work locally? In which case, that will really then determine the types of people or the types of things that you put on and do. So again, it's how you want to work. Who have you got available? Is there enough people locally for you? Or is, yeah. as most people are wanting in some capacity, some level of hybrid interaction for when they can't physically meet. So you're going to want to map that out a little bit. And a good way yeah. is if you have people that you think you want to serve in this way, go and create, even just take them for coffee, have a conversation, have a quick Zoom meeting and say, this is what I'm thinking of doing. Would this work for you? Would you attend this? Would this feel easy for you? Or how often would you attend this? Would you prefer something else in between so that, you know, we can keep a touch point and support you? So it's about finding the preference for that. And then that's really looking at, they will start to open up around their struggles, which is around the problems that they're encountering. And in the between that conversation, your passion to serve them and the way that you serve them and the problem will start to kind of meet with some somewhere in the middle of that, and you'll see how can you meet the need with an offering that's going to help them. That makes sense, Andre?
Yeah, brilliant.
Cool.
Thank you.
Awesome.
And it's
brilliant.
Interesting to see how everything applies the same, regardless of whether the offer or the actual marketing or market research is online, offline. It doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, it's still that, where does what you want to offer meet what these people want and need? So, you know, it doesn't really, it's not an online, offline kind of thing, you know.
So just before, Anchor, just before I take the next question, can you put the link to my diary in the chat? We offer, at the end of these, we offer strategy sessions. Obviously, there's opportunities to come and grow your business with us and actually help us. We can help you with all the everything from the sales, the strategy, the messaging, the niching, and also the tech as well. If you would like a conversation around, whether it's around the niching area here, you'd like to take it a little bit deeper, whether you'd like to know a little bit more of what we do in the Visible Club, we can send you some information on that. But we'd love to have you book in for a conversation, just like what we've just done with Andre there, that ability to laser coach quickly, how and when you can take that to the next level is more valuable than you sitting there trying to work that out on your own with what I call the gap tax, really, because you're paying a gap tax for every minute that you don't get the thing that you need to help. So the link is there. All I will be doing in that call, first of all, is finding out where you are, where you want to get to, what you've got in place right now, and what you need to be doing next. And then if there's anything that's suitable that we can help you with, we'll obviously share that with you. But if there's not, then we will actually help you with that, just that strategy, so you know exactly where to go next and you know exactly what you need to be doing, particularly this topic with your niche next as well. So that's in there, and I'd love to take the conversation deeper with you. So let's just open it up. So Morag or Karina or Manaz, if you've got a question or a comment around this, and we'll come to the chat as well, then that'd be great. Or otherwise, I'll come straight to the top of the chat, which is Morag's question about what to say that will have my people saying, that's me, I need that now. I'd love to know, Morag, who my people are for you. Who do you work with?
Hey, Angela. Anchor knows this already.
okay.
My people are engineers and technical professionals.
Okay.
As the sort of the headline. Then comes the difficult bit, because what most usually there's then the comment of the engineers who are technical professionals, and then the problem they're facing, and you know, in so many things, it's, well, there's so many different problems. But the thing I've got to recently that sort of most interests me, and that I'm just about to start exploring, so that in some ways I think I've answered the sort of questions being answered of like the reminder of, yeah, I just need to go and talk to people again. But specifically around, it always sounds so cliched, unfulfilled potential.
So,
and I hesitate about saying it, because that whole unfulfilled potential is such a cliche.
I know.
But that's it. Problem, that's very it? Much it.
That's half the problem. So you work with engineers. I take it you're a coach or a consultant, Morag?
I'm a coach. I'm a former engineer turned coach.
Cool. Okay. What outcome are you wanting to help these people with? When you say unfulfilled potential, what's in your aspect from the people that you've either worked with before, etc., seems to be the problems that they come in with, or the situations that they are most struggling with, and the thing that they walk away with? What's that transformational kind of A to B story?
The ones people that I've worked with to date, the most common problem is overwhelm, is stress and overwhelm.
Okay.
And
is this in the workplace, that they're in the workplace and they're stressed and overwhelmed?
Within their work. A lot of them tend not to be employees in the traditional sense. They're freelancers and contractors and stuff like that.
And generally, what prompts them to come to you?
People people that I know, and I've just had some sort of contact with them, and they've, yeah, they've just thought, can you help? Or I've even asked, been very direct with them and said, would you like some help with that?
Okay.
But the truth is,
So they, how do they find you right now? Do they obviously you noted you find somebody
not very well.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, but so you have had clients though. You have had a couple of clients though, correct?
Yes.
Cool. Okay, that's helpful because that means that and you liked those clients that you worked with.
I'm hesitating because yes, but I find the subject matter of the whole overwhelming, whenever they get into whole sort of time management stuff, I'm like, this is not my thing.
So a bit like Anka was saying earlier, it could easily be that you are ready to actually answer Manazi's question here at the same time, refining your niche and how to know when it's appropriate to do so. If you've had a couple of clients and you don't like them that much, or there's an area that you don't want to work with, then that is a perfect situation here to start to rethink and go, number one, have I been clear enough what I'm working with on people? Okay, so that I'm actually attracting the right person who's got the right problem for me. In other words, am I enjoying this person or am I enjoying this area? Because if they're coming and they're thinking that they just need more time management from you, but the reason that they're overwhelmed is that they're in time management problem, then all that's going to kind of happen here is that you're going to feel as if you can't serve that person, or there's a mixed expectation in there. They're coming for one thing and you want to actually take them somewhere else. So it's a perfect opportunity here to go, is this actually the right type of person for me? Yes, it might be the right sector, but is it actually the right level? Is it that you're taking them from subpar to par, that they just literally want to kind of sort their day out? Or are you trying to get the person that's at a level of par to a par excellence, and their unfulfilled potential is blocking them? So there's an opportunity for you to dig a little bit deeper about what you personally want to become known for in that industry. And then the people that you actually want to, that are going to get the best from you to do that. Anka, is there anything else that you want to add to that from Morag? And then she can reflect back on what you're saying.
The piece, I can sort of see the piece, like the entry point, because you're coming at it from a three principles. You know, bottom line, you want to talk three principles to them, right? And if they come in and say like, hey, how can I, you know, squeeze more out of my day? The question is, well, yes, you kind of need to meet them where they are for them to hear you. You know, the question is, how can you build that bridge, right? Like, that's like the people you've worked with, have you found a way to take them from the, you know, because I've had it like, if I take sort of my tech front kind of thing, when people are like, oh, I just need a sign up page, I just need the button where they know where the button goes, it feels like the equivalent to, I just need to help with time management and overwhelm. You know, so some people, if I go and say, well, look, the button's the least of your problems, actually, let's just dig a little deeper. Some people go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know, and they're great. And other people, yeah, I just need somebody who does my Canva thingy. And then we're not a fit, right? So what's your experience with that? To take people from that initial problem that they're aware of, that they feel is kind of annoying enough to find a solution to actually bring them more sort of upstream, as Jamie will call it.
Yeah, no, it's actually, I was just thinking about a couple of guys that they're actually really open to it. It's clear they want more. And I was thinking about that. There's two issues. One is the catch-22 situation of they're so overwhelmed and busy, it's very difficult to actually arrange sessions with them. Which is, I find quite amusing. You know, it always gets put off, oh, I don't have time for this just now. So that's one challenge. The other thing which I'm thinking at the moment is I've been limiting myself. I've been holding back from a lot of this stuff in terms of feeling that I can take them deeper, further, all that stuff. And you know, I'm at that point going, no, it's time for that now.
Jesus,
so there there might not even be a problem here. Sorry,
what was that? If anybody can, it's you.
Oh, thank you, Meg. A couple of things that I've seen over the last few months that I'm going, oh, to hell with it. Let's, you know, I've heard your story about one of those sort of moments. I've kind of had one of those moments, and so there might not be a problem here. It might just be that I just need to do it.
Well, I would say there's a couple of things going on here. It sounds to me as if you potentially have got the right type of people, potentially, but I think that they could be some what I call par excellence here. And I think there could be a couple of different things. I think one of the things that I'm looking at is, because your question was really around what do I say that my people will say, that's me, I need it now. And that's very much around the taking this into a messaging situation at all different levels, and that actually does need a little bit more unpacking. Happy to have a conversation around it, but that messaging piece that you're talking about, there's this bit around this sweet spot between, okay, if it is those people, then we need to address actually through the messaging around and the way that and the type of offering that's actually going to get them to say yes, because they're practic. If they're saying I'm already overwhelmed, there's a level, and they're guys, they're obvious, they're a practical masculine energy, get done stuff, okay. And whilst they're very open to it, if they feel under the gun about a timing of something, they're going to choose that rather than this. So there is very much a piece of messaging and the way that it's offered if it is that person. And I think it's still worth exploring the type of person that's going to make time for this, that you don't have to chase, and where are they in the problem place that choosing this or opening themselves up to this, if they are ready for it. Nobody's ready. You know, we've got at least 80-60% of the market that we've got to educate with it, and that's part of the messaging, the awareness bit, the consideration bit, and then learning to convert them. There's a process to this. But it's certainly worth a deeper look here in, yes, start off with the conversations, like where that's going to be, but also then mapping out how at every touch point we're going to answer the particular objections almost to going one step further that needs to have. And that's really a messaging process, as it were, and a market research process. And again, I'm happy to have a conversation with you. That's totally my bag, love it. I just thought, okay, if you want to do this, it's like, yes, step up. If you know that you're not stepping up, if you can feel it, and you can kind of go, I'm sitting there chasing my tail here and just kind of almost not leading the conversation, because part of actually being really taken seriously is being willing to lead that conversation and say, you know, let's do that, and rather than permission to do that, as it were. I'm really curious to see the types of things that those people need to hear from you. And that, you know, if you're in a if you've got a client or you've had a client that's worked with you, it's always really helpful as well to just say, look, can I just have a quick conversation with you, just 10 minutes, because I just want to ask you the difference that this made to you and where you were at the start and why you resisted it, or any particular place you resisted it, so that I'm just doing a little bit of work on my messaging. It would really help me. Yeah. Why did you sign up in the first place? What place were you in? And, you know, when we'd finished, why did this work for you, rather than just looking at something solely practical? And what would you say to somebody else who wasn't even thinking that this was an option or to make time for it? Because their words are so helpful if you do have that type of the right niche for you. If you find that you are chasing the wrong type of people, that could get frustrating for you. So I just said it's worth looking at both ends of that spectrum, and then analyzing what makes you really happy to work with people and what makes them really happy to work with you, and you'll find yourself wanting to step up a little bit then. Cool. I hope we could take the conversation deeper, so that the link's there. I'd love to speak to you. So just just looking at towards the end, we've just got time for one more question or one more comment in there before we end the day. Manaz or Karina, is there anything you want to say or to ask? See, because there's only a few on here now, so I can kind of just call you out. And Manaz and Karina are both in the Visible Club, so they know I can call them out. I would be so presumptuous with anybody else, as it were. But if there's not, then we will close off for the day and just finish off. You doing? Oh, I miss a comment at the bottom because I've got my mouse on charge at the same time. Because that's what happens, doesn't it? All of these devices, really helpful. All of these devices all stop working right at the wrong time of what you're doing. Andre, is there anything that you want to ask or a comment if this has been helpful for you? I'd love to know, actually, just maybe in the chat, that's also helpful for me, because I look back after them, is what are you taking away from today to action or that's made sense to you? Or just that little bit of a shift that you didn't have when you came on the call. And if we've started to answer your question in one form or another. Oh, actually, I missed off Karina's. Hang on, where's my mouse? Has gone a bit wild. I think I'd got Manaz's. When to refine your niche and how to know when it's appropriate to do so. Number one, you start to feel resentful for the people. Like a price point or a working with them level, they start to annoy you. That is a certain lesson that you are ready to up level and refine it. If, for instance, you are sometimes when you are not, if the niche is not responding, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the wrong one. It can mean the wrong approach to it. So we've got to go back again to those questions with people and find, and actually, as Anka said, find out whether we've actually trying to solve a problem that they don't want solving, and we can shift the offer slightly to actually meet them at a place and then take them deeper. Anything else on that, Anka, in terms of how to know when it's appropriate to move a niche?
I think it'll reveal itself. You know, I think the main thing is to talk to people, to serve people and observe. You know, each time you go like, okay, how did that go? Did they get what they come for? Did I get to enjoy the experience? And if you go, oh my God, if all my clients were this, then you want to have a closer look. Like, what made them come? What is it that they came for? It's like, okay, well, how can I get more of this? Versus if you go, oh Jesus, I'm glad this is over. Well, then you might want to do the analysis as well, but to, you know, with the objective to, okay, let's stay away from this, you know. And I think the more times you do that exercise, the clearer, even the thing like, oh God, I don't want to do that again. Like, that's really helpful to filter out and to get more clear who you're best suited to serve.
Yeah. And Karina's niche by subject matter or specific audience, both are possible. Give you an example. When I niched by subject matter, if I niched by speaking, or if I niched by voice, or Anchor niched by tech, for instance, that is a subject matter. And you could possibly have various different types of people coming to you for that. What I would say about the subject matter is that you have to decide whether you are working at subpar to par or par to par excellence. Because with that subject matter, if you are at par excellence, you're going to probably find it really frustrating for somebody that's subpar if you're doing it yourself. And if you're looking at subject matter or specific audience, say, for instance, that is, I say specific audiences, you want to serve a particular type of person in an industry, for instance, manufacturing, or for instance, as we did, coach consultant, service-based professionals. That's an audience, that's an industry. Once you get to the industry, you will find that you have to, and you will also want to, and it will be most natural to find the types of people or the psychographics of the type of people within that type of industry that you enjoy best. For me, I really enjoy aspirational people. They want to move towards something and they want to upskill to something. And they, so I can find those type of people within any different types of, you know, specific audience, but it's going to be that psychographic that I am drawn to and are drawn to me within that. So I hope that answers that question for you at the same time. Thank you all for joining us for Message of Momentum Weekly. We'll have the replay available for you later to send out. And we look forward to, I'm just going to tell you what the next one is. Oh, yes. How to position, which actually goes into Morag's next week, actually, which is how to position yourself in front of your ideal. So you're just going to have to come along one more time so that we can go slightly deeper with you at the same time. But it's actually I'm just looking at the actual topic titles that we've got here, and if I notice I haven't got the actual word behind it, I don't think, but it is about what I call kind of positioning yourself, and what does positioning yourself even mean in the marketplace.
I
I'll need to come back next week. Absolutely, yes. So it will be how to position yourself, so we'll look at that whole topic from a fresh perspective, from our brand strategy and our three principles background training as well. So hopefully we'll see you all next week for Message of Momentum Weekly, in which case have a great week, and we hope that's been helpful for you. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Visible Coaches podcast. If you've ever felt the pressure to market yourself in ways that don't align with your true nature, this podcast is your sanctuary. If you've enjoyed what you've heard so far, make sure to subscribe to the Visible Coaches podcast on your favorite platform. And we would really be grateful if you could leave us a review. Your feedback means the world to us, and it helps us reach more introverted coaches like you. Visit thevisiblecoachespodcast.com now. That's thevisiblecoachespodcast.com. Let's continue to embrace our introverted strength, create meaningful connections, and make waves in the coaching world. Until next time.